Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Justin Finch. Israeli airstrikes continue into Gaza. On day six of the war between Israel and Hamas, about 1,200 killed in Israel, including 22 Americans. Another 1,300 people dead in Gaza, ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
A senior Hamas official is claiming the militants planned the attack on Israel for 2 years, making no mention of any outside involvement. Reuters, citing a source close to Hamas, reports the militant group started planning the attack in May 2021, angered after Israeli troops stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem during clashes between police and Palestinian protesters.
Meantime, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Tel Aviv, focused on Americans who are missing, being held hostage or stranded in the region. Hadass Calderon says her 12 and 16-year-old children are being held. She's seen them in videos.
My baby is like, can you imagine your child like that?
This is ABC News. Nearly a month into the UAW strike, and auto workers are stepping up the pressure on Ford. 8,700 of them walking off the job last night at the Ford truck plant in Louisville, Kentucky, is Ford's biggest plant in the country. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul launching a new push to try and help keep kids safer online. ABC's Andrea Fujii.
Lawmakers in New York argue algorithms, which suggest content based on a user's perceived interests, are keeping kids addicted to social media. The governor calling algorithms the new tobacco.
We prohibit cigarettes and alcohol. Teenagers can't have access to them because it threatens their health.
So state officials are now proposing legislation that would allow parents to opt their kids out of getting feeds based on those automated algorithms.
The state of Utah suing TikTok, saying the platform's algorithms are getting kids addicted to social media. TikTok responding, saying it has safeguards in place. Justin Finch, ABC News.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media,
if you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you. But it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network. Kristen Lyerly here as well, as she often is on Mondays and Thursdays. Thursday's Hometown Health Day, and at 7:30 we're learning about doulas, correct?
Yes. Do you doula?
Some people do a doula, and for good reason. The data bears it out, and we'll explain more coming up. On this Thursday, October 12th, and normally I rattle off a whole list of national blank days, national blank awareness days. We're really not even going to get into National Gumbo Day, well, maybe a little later on in the show. This is National Farmers Day, and that one deserves its own, you know, span of attention here because I like to eat. You like to eat.
You know? I do. I love to eat.
We love living around people who work the land and put in the hours and the sacrifice, and they don't just feed us, they feed the entire world. And I say that as somebody, you know, as a city boy who married into a dairy farm family and have covered, you know, the dairy crisis and everything else about farming as a reporter for years and years and years. This is one city boy who cannot show enough gratitude on National Farmers Day.
Farming is not an easy profession, and it never has been an easy profession. Mm-hmm. And I say that as someone who comes from six generations of farmers here in northeastern Wisconsin. So I'm just going to go ahead and give a shout out to Uncle Bud and Aunt Sandy and Uncle Vess and Aunt Pat. And of course, Grandpa Sobel, who was the one who taught me to love farming and actually made me think that I might be a farmer when I was a little kid.
Sure. And in my case, my wife's parents, Betty and Billy, had their 60th wedding anniversary last weekend and had all of the kids around them and a lot of great stories being told. You know, the cows are gone now. They're no longer a milking operation because a later generation said no. I mean, and as so many family farm, farm families have learned over the years, that sacrifice is just too much at times. But mm-hmm. for those who do choose to pursue it, to make it their living, it would seem like there aren't adequate words. But the fact of the matter is somebody did come up with adequate words. I believe it was 1978, speaking to the FFA convention, Future Farmers of America, that radio legend Paul Harvey penned some words to express what it is that farmers go through. The following audio is from Paul Harvey in 1978. It is copyright by Paul Lynn Inc., Paul Harvey's company that is now owned by his son. But listen carefully and tell me if you could do this life that these folks have chosen for themselves. Here's Paul Harvey.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. I need somebody with arms strong enough to wrestle a calf and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call hogs, tame cantankerous machinery, come home hungry, have to wait lunch until his wife's done feeding visiting ladies, then tell the ladies to be sure and come back real soon and mean it. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painting from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God had to have somebody willing to ride the ruts at double speed to get the hay in ahead of the rain clouds and yet stop in midfield and race to help when he sees the first smoke from a neighbor's place. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk, and replenish the self-feeder, and finish a hard week's work with a five-mile drive to church. Somebody who'd bail a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
And if you don't know a farmer or a farm family, you probably think that there's some hyperbole in there. And there's not. Not even a little bit.
No, but he did leave out the part about picking rocks.
He did leave out. Yes, he did. He left out. Well, that's the casual surprise that when your daughter brings home a city boy from college, that they says, how can I help out? And that's what you get. And I'll never forget showing up with my 73 Plymouth Fury, the muffler sticking out of the back window because it was in the back seat because it fell off on the drive across the state. And using some wire and a coffee can, he put that muffler back on there. So God made Billy, and best farmer father-in-law anybody could ever want. Let's take a break here. We'll do our weatherology forecast coming up next. We'll talk more about headlines in the news ahead of Kristen's Hometown Health right here on this Thursday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here weekday mornings from 6 to 8, you're up north, and we'll be back after this.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. The Heartland Trophy is on the line against Iowa. Our coverage begins at 1 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WLAK 1260 AM, Lake Air Amory.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All right, 10 seconds.
Hey, I don't smoke, I don't chew smack, but I got a spicy monkey riding on my back. Don't eat beignets, too much sugar and no, but I will play for gumbo. That's it.
See, I told you we would get to National Gumbo Day. It is National Farmers Day, but it's National Gumbo Day, and the only song I know that's about gumbo is from Jimmy Buffett. So there you go.
Where's the best gumbo? Where can you find a good gumbo?
I would have to have tried it and liked it, and neither one of those things has happened yet. So So if somebody knows of good gumbo in Wisconsin, and it can be done. I've had a good old-fashioned in South Carolina because somebody had Wisconsin ties. Mm. So if there's somebody with Southern ties who does gumbo in Wisconsin, we want to hear about it. 844-967-2789. Time for the weather now. And meteorologist Jennifer Pachitsky joins us for what is going to be a wet, wet, wet start to the weekend. But we'll see where it goes after that. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. It looks like a chance for some showers and storms for the southern half of the state today. Milwaukee over towards Richland Center. Also a chance for some rain in Baldwin by the afternoon hours. Then a chance for showers for everyone by tonight. Temperature-wise, it looks like everyone will get into the mid to upper 50s today. Some locations actually holding pretty steady with temperatures currently in the low to mid 50s. Once again, those areas around Milwaukee, Waukesha, Madison, and Richland Center. So not much movement as far as those temps are concerned today. Friday, a good chance for showers, maybe some thunderstorms for everyone, mid to upper 50s for the southern half of the state, then upper 40s to low 50s from Oshkosh through central Wisconsin and over towards Amory and Baldwin. For the weekend, a chance for some showers and storms to start it out for all on Saturday, highs in the mid to low 50s. Temperatures really not moving around too much here overall throughout the week, the rest of the week ahead. Sunday, it looks like a chance for some showers around Milwaukee and Waukesha, then cloudy and dry for everyone else. Nothing exciting once again with the temperatures, as we'll see once again, highs in the mid to low 50s.
All right, Jennifer, I have not actually asked you enough about your background to know. We were just talking about National Farmers Day and, you know, me being a city kid marrying into a farm family. Would you say that you have city roots, farm roots, a mix of both?
Definitely city roots. I grew up in the Chicago suburbs, so, and I lived in the city before, so definitely more city roots.
I was just explaining how we have somebody who's from the Chicago area, and again, trying to be a translator, if you will, about farm issues. So I definitely understand it, and I would definitely be in that case if I hadn't married a farmer's daughter from Green Bay. Jennifer, thank you so much. Appreciate the update. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. So Kristen Lyerly's back with us now. And for those, being a translator for City Kids, when we talk about picking rock, there's just some things. I mean, there's farm machinery is so huge and complex and expensive, but there's really no substitute when you plow the fields. You're going to stir up rocks and you don't want those. And so there's no substitute for putting on your I was going to use a euphemism for boots, but I can't say that on the radio. Putting on your boots and getting out in there and picking rock. And we used to threaten, shall we say, our daughters when they were little girls, that, you know, we would send them to the farm over the summers just to pick rock. And Sherry's brother Bill was the one who took over the farm, so we referred to it as summer camp. We referred to it as Camp Uncle Bill. So we're gonna so whenever we threatened to send them to Camp Uncle Bill, we knew that Bill was just gonna have them pick rock the whole time that they were out there.
That's traumatizing. Now they are afraid of Uncle Bill.
Yeah, no. They love Bill, and Bill loves them. And that was raising two girls. Then I found out with my first couple of grandsons, the flip side of this is he would take each of those little boys for a ride in the tractor with a little tiny cooler that had like a bottle of water and a bag of M&Ms or something like that. But what the boys thought was really cool at age, you know, 4, 5, 6, whatever it was when you're way at the other end of the field, if you got to go to the bathroom, you just step out of the tractor and, you know, just go right behind the tire over there. They just thought that was the coolest until you look out the window at your house here in Chippewa Falls and see the 3-year-old peeing out on the front lawn. And you're like, what are you doing? Well, Grandpa did it. Well, yeah, against the tractor on the other side of the field, not in front of the neighbors.
As the mom of four boys, I have no comment.
It's just that your boys are in their teens now and still doing it, Kristen. I think maybe you should have a word with them.
When they were little, that was actually how we potty trained them. We took the little kids out with the big kids and we were like, teach them how to pee on a tree. And they loved it so much that that was how they decided they were going to time it.
That's awesome.
It is.
Now,
not.
If there was just a way to use the tree or the tractor or something to do a better job of reminding them to flush. Did you remember to flush? Did you remember to flush? Did you remember to flush? Did you wash your hands? Did you wash your hands? I don't know. Somehow we got from National Farmers Day into this. One more farm story that I've got to share again from my father-in-law. And this is literally the first time I met him. I don't think I've told you this story yet. You know, so we meet at UW-Eau Claire, Sherry and I, and so it's Thanksgiving of her freshman year of college, and she's bringing me home for Thanksgiving, the new boyfriend. And we arrive, you know, it's a 3.5-hour drive from, you know, the UW-Eau Claire campus to Manitowoc County, and I pull up at this idyllic farm, and, you know, it's the sun's gone down already, and so we're trudging over to the barn to meet the family for the first time. All the younger siblings are milking cows. And I walk in and, you know, I've been in barns. I've got other, you know, extended family who've been. So it wasn't like I was like this total city kid. Ew. You know, I was fine with it. But the problem was when Billy said, you know, would you like to help? And I said, yeah. And, you know, the cows are all numbered in the stalls. And so he gives me the dip, you know, that you use on the udders right before you put on the milking machine. And he says, why don't you start with 34 over there? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I start walking toward 34, and just as I'm about to, because I'd watched what they did, I thought it'd be okay. Just as I'm about to ease into the stall and lean down, he starts roaring with laughter. He's like, no, no, stop. If he'd have given me another half a second, I would have looked down far enough to see that's not a cow that needs milking. If he'd have given me more than half a second, I would have been kicked in the head and not here doing this radio show right now. So they always have a good laugh at, you know, trying to get Pat to milk the bull. And that was my introduction to the family. And yet here I am 40 years later. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't even have anything to say.
They are awesome folks. All right. So There's a couple of news stories that I wanted to share. One was brought up by a listener in the last hour here. And both of these stories deal with how the economy was saved thanks to pandemic relief. But now our economy and the economic health of our families is in dire straits, in part because Republicans are going basically an either or. We're either doing pandemic relief or we're providing zero assistance to people for childcare or, in this case, for rent. And this is from J.T. Seskowski over at Channel 27 in Madison. The headline, Dane County Eviction Filings on the Rise as Rental Assistance Faces an Uncertain Future. And it's all about how the Dane County Circuit Court has had to open its schedule for eviction hearings because there are so many more this year compared to last year as pandemic assistance is expiring, which was providing rent assistance for folks who were in need. And then along with that, you had also in Madison yesterday at the state capitol, child care providers and parents and business people testifying for hours on behalf of Governor Tony Evers' special session bill to address the child care affordability crisis, the labor shortage, and all sorts of other things, with Republicans saying, well, a lot of those things were paid for with federal pandemic relief, and now that that money's run out, we can't do anything about it. Even though the state has a record multi-billion dollar surplus, Kristen, the unfair question I'm putting to you is, why does it have to be either or?
It doesn't.
Right.
That's what's so frustrating. It's this lack of wanting to work together to solve problems that I think is the most frustrating, concerning thing about our legislature. You said it in the last hour. These people are constantly campaigning, but they're not actually legislating. And it's just clearly not working for the people of Wisconsin. We are begging them for help, and they're coming back with nothing.
And what you get then is two types of Republicans, and I'm going to put it on Republicans because they've been in the majority here for 12 years. You have two types of Republicans. You have the ideologues who are absolutely not going to look for a solution. They have no interest in it. And in fact, a member of the Senate Republicans, Dan Knodel from Germantown, continued to give comments throughout the hearing yesterday, and you could see these women sitting behind him. There's Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area put up photographs of them groaning and rolling their eyes every time he said in so many words, well, if you women would just stay home, then there wouldn't be a childcare crisis. And he's going to say, I didn't say that. You go back and listen to what he was saying. He was saying that in so many words, as other people were as well. So you've got that one class of Republicans. Then you've got the other who, when you talk to them in private, you know, they sound very sympathetic. They sound like they understand the gravity of these problems and that government can play a role in facilitating a solution. It doesn't have to do limitless handouts, you know, but it can help work toward a solution, but they feel like their hands are tied or they can't speak up or whatever the case may be. And you're either sympathetic toward them or you feel like you're gutless, depending on your own point of view. But that's all to say is we either need more of them or, frankly, you just need more Democrats. One way or another, you need people actually interested in solving problems. That's what it all comes down to.
Absolutely. If you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. So I would say to those Republicans, that second group that you just spoke about, please don't go with the flow, with that dysfunctional caucus that you have. Actually do the thing that you know you need to do, the thing that you are hired to do, the things that your constituents are begging you to do. Do those things. That's the only way that we can break this ugly cycle and try to solve some of these problems so that we can be a healthier society, grow our economy, make sure that the people who live here have great access to education and childcare and all of the things, you know, healthy, affordable food, things that we all need to be able to live a healthy life.
And one of those things that would help so much that other countries have would be an expanded paid family leave program. But again, coming back to Senator Dan Knodel from Germantown, he balked at the notion that it would be funded in part by payroll contributions from the employees and the employers, which, of course, he steps in and says, well, that's big government telling big business or telling business what it has to do. We don't think government should step in with an additional cost to the businesses. We are in turn punishing those employers. They've done all the work. They've created jobs. They've recognized the marketplace needs, raising benefits, raising pay. And now we want to penalize them for that. That's a problem. That's not penalizing businesses. Many of them at the small level want government to put in a paid family leave program so that everybody's competing at a level playing field and they're able to retain employees instead of losing them, because there's not a family leave program.
Let's be consistent when we're talking about where we want government to intervene here. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's have government intervene in places where people need government to intervene, not in places where people don't need government to intervene, like in our exam rooms and in our personal healthcare decisions.
Ah, yes, there you go. All right, speaking of which, we're going to talk about what does a doula do in hometown health next.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Israeli airstrikes continue into Gaza. On day six of the war between Israel and Hamas, about 1,200 killed in Israel, including 22 Americans. Another 1,300 people dead in Gaza, ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
A senior Hamas official is claiming the militants planned the attack on Israel for 2 years, making no mention of any outside involvement. Reuters, citing a source close to Hamas, reports the militant group started planning the attack in May. May 2021. Angered after Israeli troops stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem during clashes between police and Palestinian protesters.
Meantime, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Tel Aviv, focused on Americans who are missing, being held hostage or stranded in the region. Hadass Calderon says her 12 and 16-year-old children are being held. She's seen them in videos.
My baby is like, can you imagine your child like that?
This is ABC News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The 7th Annual Cap Times Idea Fest returned to Madison September 17th, featuring conversations with leaders in government, business, education, social justice, and culture. IdeaFest moderators and guests looked ahead to what the future could look like in Wisconsin and how we reckon with change brought on by the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and other forces. Civic Media proudly partnered with IdeaFest and will present segments of this year's recorded gathering this weekend across the Civic Media Network. Tune in Saturday at 2 p.m. on your favorite Civic Media.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Push it good. Ooh, baby, baby. Baby, baby. Ooh,
what you're hearing baby, there baby, is a secret microphone baby, that we've planted baby inside labor and delivery when Dr. Lyerly is urging her ladies to push it. Baby, that, baby.
That has happened. It does enter my mind on a pretty regular basis.
I just thought of a story that I'll have to share off air sometime about that. Yeah, it turns out that if you may think you're a bilingual OBGYN and you're telling your lady to push, you might get the Spanish word wrong and be in real trouble for what you've accidentally said to the patient. I must save that for another day. Let's talk about some of the other folks that help in labor and delivery as part of Hometown Health. Kristen, set us up.
Well, you know, we always try to highlight something related to healthcare that we may not be familiar with. And one of these really important things for people who are pregnant, postpartum, and other times in their lives are doulas. So if you haven't heard about a doula, today we get to talk to an incredible real-life doula, hear all about what doula care is and how it really is changing the landscape for moms and families, not only in Wisconsin, but across the country. So welcome, Emily Jacobson, owner of Green Bay Doulas and so many more things. We're so proud and happy to have you here with us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Emily. You know, Kristen, when you mentioned that we were going to be talking about doulas, and I thought, wait, I thought we did that already. And I had to look back, and we did talk to a doula in early July about postpartum care, you know, Medicaid expansion for covering what's known as the fourth trimester. So we had a doula on then, but we really didn't dedicate the entire segment to it. And that's really what we're going to get into today. So I'm actually going to set it up for Kristen to then toss it to you, Emily. Kristen, for OBGYNs, what is their outlook on doula, you know, a help, a hindrance, a competitor? What is the mindset from an OBGYN perspective as you lead into what, you know, Emily describing the role of a doula?
So as an OBGYN, I think when people look at the birth experience, they think about, you know, of course, the patient and who the patient's support people are, and then the doctor is there, and then the nurse. But often we don't think about a birth support person. And the data has shown that, especially in certain populations, having somebody there who is trained, that's the important thing, appropriately trained to support someone who is going through that really sensitive time in someone's life when they're incredibly vulnerable. And there are so many things that can go wrong, but so many things that can go right if it's managed appropriately. That's what most people think of as the role of a doula. But I'll hand it over to Emily to give her perspective on what a doula is.
Yeah, for me, I really like to put it into layman's terms of, if you're somebody who enjoys the outdoors, we're your trail guide. You wouldn't go to Canada and just get off the plane and just find a lake and get in it and go fishing. You'd probably hire someone who knows the lay of the land, who understands what's going on, can help you just understand a little more than when you stopped at, you know, the warden's, you know, cabin and talk to him for a few minutes, right? And so our goal as labor doulas and postpartum doulas are really there to be the side-by-side support, help advocate in a sense of just helping them talk through, what did they talk to you about in your appointment? Did they actually understand that? A lot of people have, you know, that white coat syndrome, and they go in and you ask them, Dr. Lyerly, like, do you have any questions? And they're like, no, I don't. But they do. They have so many questions, and they just kind of freeze, right? But we've created this space where they can ask us the questions. And if it's outside of our scope, then we would say, yep, definitely a question to bring back to Dr. Lyerly. But here's how you can say it. And really give them the confidence to feel empowered in their birthing decisions and in their postpartum decisions as well. So I think that's the easiest way to explain it.
Hey, I love that. And I think that in the times that we've worked together and the times that I've worked with other doulas, and I'm sure you've worked with other physicians, the communication process is really key. And, you know, like you mentioned, Emily, because I'm a physician, there are often times where patients don't feel comfortable saying, no, that doesn't seem right to me, or I do have a question, but I just don't feel comfortable asking that question. And there you are, having fostered that relationship where you've created that communication pathway, and you can bridge that not only with the doctor, but with the nurse, and sometimes with family members too. The benefits for really almost any patient, but especially for people who really struggle with cultural barriers, language barriers, and other barriers to care, has really been borne out in the data. Can you talk a little bit about your work with yours and others' work with vulnerable populations and how it has been shown to reduce preterm birth and improve birth outcomes?
Yeah, it's about removing barriers. And so sometimes it's about the literacy. So, you know, if you write something, Dr. Lyley, and somebody says, oh, watch, read this scholarly article. We want it to be at or below a fourth grade reading level in that. And so some people just can't understand or can't comprehend what that means. And so we're able to take that and break it down. So we help with cultural, with just the literacy of things, helping understand the medical knowledge. The hard part too is that, you know, for us, women of color in the BIPOC community are 5 times more likely to die in childbirth in Wisconsin than, you know, no matter what their education level is, even if they're a PhD, than a Caucasian woman who didn't graduate high school. Still 5 times more likely. And so is that because they don't have providers that look like them, that understand, that have the cultural competency to support them? Is it that they don't have access to transportation? Or is it the access, where are the barriers? And when we're not looking at the barriers because we just want them to come into the hospital, you know, that's where things are happening. So as doulas, we go to their home. We're with them in their space, helping them understand how we can help support them. And although I may not understand a lot of it, I can try my best. And so for us as doulas, we really want to help bridge those gaps. And we know that women who receive doula care have a less likely chance of their babies being in NICU. But also, we understand that 1 in 3 women experience birth trauma, regardless of socioeconomic status. So we got a lot of work to do, but the collaborative care model is ideal. Being able to walk into a hospital and the nurses greet me, and then I greet you, Dr. Lyerly, when you walk in, that helps right there with the rapport of my client and your patient now says, okay, I can trust them. If she trusts them, I can trust them. And we can get somewhere.
And for folks listening, NICU is stands for neonatal ICU, the place where the little preemies go and get to live in a plexiglass box for a while, which is traumatizing on the one hand and a modern miracle on the other hand. And you want to avoid that wherever possible. You can't, like you just said, Emily, avoid it all the time. But Kristen, it's information, you know, and translation that really helps prevent those instances.
We really want, I think, as a society, to think that there are pills and interventions and just tests and things that we can do to solve all of the problems. But the truth is, it is all of the soft stuff. It is making sure that you feel cared for as a patient, whether you're facing a birthing experience or just going in for preventive care. You want to know that your doctor, your healthcare provider really is hearing what you're saying. And that's one of the roles that a doula can provide. And, you know, we've talked about the role of a doula during the birthing experience, but Emily, doulas do so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's preparation for pregnancy. It's a concierge service. If you think about it, what resources do you need access to that the hospital may not know about just because they don't have the capacity to learn? They have their own area of expertise. We have our own area of expertise. How do we connect them to the resources? How do we connect them to different tools for their toolbox that they can build for their birth and postpartum experience? It's really about being on their level. And because we do nothing medical, sadly, insurance doesn't cover us because we don't get a billing code. And so the hard part about this is that HSA and Flex can cover a doula, but those are for the privileged who have that experience of private insurance. What about those that don't? So we kind of say the ones that need us the most can't afford us, and the ones that can afford us can have us. And that's a disservice to our birthing community and population in general.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about that as soon as you mentioned that think of it as a concierge service, and you know, concierge services are extras that people do need extra funds for. So for those folks who, should we say, can probably fit that into their budget, but don't, you're saying that there's a role there that they should look into and consider adding those services for a healthier outcome.
Absolutely. Or just positive birth experience in general, lower cesarean rates, shorter labors, being competent and having and being able to ask the right questions to get to where they want to go in their birth experience. We know birth is unpredictable. And when everything goes right, it's because the doula was there. And if everything goes wrong, you're really glad a doula was there, because we break it down. We are able to, as the nurses are in their organized chaos of what happen, we're sitting one-on-one with them saying, do you understand what's about to happen? Do you understand that baby's not happy right now? Do you understand? And so being able to help support them in that moment, there's better outcomes in general for mental health in particular.
As a doctor, I have to say, when we are facing a challenging birth experience, like say someone has a tracing that indicates that the fetus is in distress and we need to move towards a cesarean, it's my obligation to talk quickly about risks, benefits, alternatives, and then help the team move to the operating room. But I don't have time to provide that emotional and supportive care. That's where you come in to make sure that your patient understands, can share how they're feeling, and can feel as comfortable as possible in this really scary, traumatizing time, not just for the patient, but for her entire family and the people who are there to support her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the postpartum period? When I think about postpartum, a lot of people think, well, the baby's out, so the pregnancy is over. What can doulas do to support moms and families in that postpartum period when so many things are changing, not just with your health and your body, but you're learning about your family and you're trying to figure out how it all fits together and what your new life looks like? Where does a doula fit in there?
Yeah, so for us, it's twofold. It's the respite side of things. Are we helping her get the rest that she needs and supporting the birthing partner and their family in rest? Is it the education side of like, oh my gosh, a new newborn. Do you know how to give them a bath? Do you know how to soothe them? So sometimes it's a bit of both. Sometimes it's heavily towards one side or another. It's about how do I feed this baby? Worries, concerns. Again, you get a phone call from the hospital. How are you doing? They're probably not going to answer that phone call because they don't know that number, but they know our number. So the amount of questions that we have of, is this normal? Is this not normal? Baby won't stop crying. What's happening? Around the 5-week mark, they go through a huge developmental leap and everyone reaches back out like, what is going on? And so just understanding what's normal, what's not, when to go to the doctor, when to call your doctor. But also everyone comes to focus on the baby. How's the baby? I want to hold the baby. And no one's concerned about the person who birthed that baby. How are they doing? How are they doing? Are they being fed? Are their goals being met? Are they being taken care of? And that's our goal of with postpartum care is how do we support them?
Well, it's a role of advocacy that, look, it, for folks of a certain age who remember, you know, Marcus Welby and all the TV doctors where it seemed like they had all the time in the world to care for the patient as well as the baby and be the social worker and everything else. Now, in a country of 400 million people with a healthcare system that is as corporatized as ever before, doctors being pulled 8 ways to Sunday, to have this kind of advocacy and education and emotional support is a huge deal. And so if you want to learn more about it, you can go to greenbaydoulas.com or widoulas.org and learn more about doulas and what Emily Jacobson and others do to help Kristen and all of the patients that you have out there. So once again, Emily, want to thank you so much for being part of Hometown Health and for all you do.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Emily.
All right. When we come back, we normally would talk to Luke Mathers at this point, but apparently he's gone. So we're going to talk about Luke Mathers and other things as well as we wrap up our conversation for Thursday, October 12th. We'll be back in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio.
Kristen Bride.
David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as Jane's birder boyfriend.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Oh!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, God, I am wounded.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes, Melissa. That was like 12 years ago. What do you think the hangup is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out of touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade Monkey, Dom and Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast, party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies today with highs around 55. Easterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. Scattered rain showers likely, 44. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 47. Overcast skies. Low 50s Saturday and Sunday with a chance for scattered rain showers Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 41.
Speak up properly. All right, here we go.
And a good night's sleep. Y'all hold them up with me now. Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring that turn from green to
here
bad
on this National Farmers
night.
Day, I was all set to play a little Luke Bryan and talk to Luke Mathers, but I come back from my vacation. He's off on another one or something like that. So we still can't get the band back together, Kristen.
I know. He'll show up at some point.
He will.
Bring his special version of Glee.
He's got to get a paycheck one of these days. That's right. coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network, of course, you're here in Homeroom, where everybody gathers at the start of the day, and then you all head off to your different shows. You are going to get Earl Ingram next in Waukesha, Green Bay, and Racine, Stu Daniels in the Chippewa Valley, LaCrosse, Hayward, and Oshkosh, Chad Holmes up next on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James and the Gang in Wisconsin Rapids. They are all followed by As Goes Wisconsin, The New News, Town Call, and Todd Alba at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So another very busy and informative day ahead on the Civic Media Radio Network. Kristen, we were talking during the break about translation, not just speaking medical, you know, jargon to the patients, but actual language translation. And you were saying that AI is going to play a great role in this, in helping people talk to each other better and overcome language barriers.
I think it will. I'm not an AI expert, but I can tell you that some of the things that we are using now in the hospital to talk with folks who don't speak English as their primary language, it's helpful, but it's still, there's a huge barrier there because, you know, as you know, communication is not just about the words. Like 70% of communication is about understanding and body language and all of those other things. And I think AI is really going to help to fill that gap. So I look forward to that because I think communication, like real, true communication, is going to solve a lot of the misunderstandings and the problems that we have.
Well, we're going to need AI to step it up just a bit because when it comes to speech to text, it is still kind of a guessing game at times for the computer. Mm-hmm. My latest example came yesterday in explaining, we were learning a new video editing program and talking to Selena Heller about it. And I told Selena that I actually do get a transcript of this show every day. I put it into a program and then we get a printout back of the whole 2 hours so that we can pick out sound bites and highlights and all of that. But I warned her, I said, now it's not, you know, it's not perfect. It's still got some you know, bumps along the way. A few minutes later, she sends a big old laughing face emoji because at the very top of yesterday's transcript where it says, I'm Pat Kreitlow in Chippewa Falls, the transcript says, I'm quite low here in Chapel Falls. And I said, I actually don't see the lie in that.
There are moments. More coffee. More coffee.
More coffee. And you can't give enough cafefe to the EI computers to do that. So you wanted to expand a bit more on doula care. And one of the things I wanted to say as well is, look, it's always nice to have an advocate. And sometimes that advocate, I mean, it might be a spouse, it might be a sister, but you know, you don't want it to necessarily be somebody who says, well, I'm her advocate because I've read the internet, you know, and I know things. You're looking for, like you said, somebody with a little bit more experience and a knowledge base to provide the care when, like you said, sometimes you're pulled away and have to do other things.
Well, you're right. And that is what a doula is. I love it when a patient shows up and we are having a conversation about something that it's often pretty heavy. And you know, when you're the patient, it is overwhelming often. You don't remember parts of the conversation, even if you're taking notes. There's just a lot of information that's shared. You may not think of all of the questions that you'd really like to have answered. So it's great to bring an advocate with you, whether it's a doula, and there are other doulas. It doesn't just have to be related to birth. There are other healthcare doulas. Bring somebody with you who you trust, who can look at what's happening to you from a different angle and ask those questions and take those notes. Sometimes people even will record our visits so that they can go back and review what we've talked about, because that first interaction, when you're sharing so much information in such a short period of time, can just be really heavy and overwhelming.
I know that there have been times when Sherry has mentioned that there's some patients where she feels much better when they do bring, you know, a daughter, a partner, whatever the case may be, because then they know there's that person who has heard, for example, the importance of taking your prescription daily, mm-hmm. you know, not taking shortcuts, because you might have that adult child or partner come into a future visit and say, yeah, she said she only needs to take this pill like every other day or something like that. And that's not the case. So if it's somebody that keeps you focused on the actual treatment regimen your doctor prescribed, that's not a bad thing.
And Pat, this just reinforces how we all need each other. No person is an island. We have to help each other out. We have to reinforce for each other what is important in life. And you know, frankly, we have to be vulnerable with each other in order to create that tight-knit community that supports all of us and keeps us all moving forward.
Hey, you're in Green Bay, and I have to ask, how are you coping? That's now been, that we're coming up on the third Sunday in a row. We knew this before the season started. There would be three Sundays in a row with no Packer football on Sundays. There was a Thursday night game, and then there was a Monday night game, and now there's a bye week. You know, before they eventually get back to Sunday football. How's the town doing over there? Are they able to cope on autumn Sundays when there's no Packer football?
It's weird. We're still wearing our Packer gear, though, because, well, that's what's in our closets.
Yeah. I brought some along on my trip out to Idaho and, you know, found this one little bar in Miles City, Montana, as we stopped, you know, halfway there to watch that Thursday night game a couple of weeks back. And in years past, I might have hesitated to wear, you know, some Packer colors or Packer gear because there's a lot of Denver Broncos fans out that way. But that was also the week they got pasted by the Miami Dolphins by a score of 70-20. So there was nobody in Broncos gear out there at that point. And Packer fans, you can pretty much get away with being a Packer fan almost every place. Maybe not Minnesota, you know, but almost every place else.
Oh, for sure, Minnesota. There are tons of Packer fans in Minnesota. I love wearing Packer gear when I travel because people will literally, this has happened to you, I know, mm-hmm. people will walk up to you in the airport and they'll like just fist bump you, or they'll say from across the crowded room, go Pack, go. Because our community is old and solid. We've got this foundation that teams like the Vikings or the Broncos, because they're so much newer, they just don't have it. But we've got it.
Oh, very much so. And as people have pointed out that, you know, Jordan Love has started 2-3. You know who else started 2-3? Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You know who else started 2-3? Brett Favre. So for folks that want to panic, much like I said to the people after the Brewers were eliminated, just relax and enjoy the ride. You know, that this is, we shouldn't, don't put that kind of pressure on yourself. This is what Sherry tells me that her uncles grew up with, were the lower expectations, and just enjoy the game. Enjoy the sense of community when you ride your bike out to Lambeau Field, which you see all the time.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And I ride by the Bart Starr trophy. There's a big trophy outside of Lambeau. And I always think about Bart Starr as a quarterback and Bart Starr as a coach, because he was the coach when I was growing up in the 70s. And it was a very different Packer time then. So if we could live through that, if our organization could survive the 70s, I think, you know, a couple games, we got this.
I think we'll be okay. That's right. All right, everybody, enjoy your day. You can follow me throughout the day on social media or what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you for Friday the 13th.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. The Heartland Trophy is on the line against Iowa. Our coverage begins at 1 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WLAK 1260 AM Lake Air Amory.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent top-end yields come from strict quality control, trusted technology, and local dealers invested in your success. Rank Seed has been a family-owned and operated business since 1846. More than 175 years later, we still have the highest performing genetics on the market in all environments. Expect the expected with Rank Seed.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.